Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy.
Okay, hello everyone and welcome to the show. So today we have with us Nadia Jaja Pupa, founder of Peak Publishing, who work with corporations, nonprofits, academic institutions, government agencies, authors in both fiction and nonfiction, with the writing, with the designing, with the editing, all these services for your projects from idea through to distribution. Beautiful. There is a lot within that. Nadia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're super, super welcome. So can you expand a little bit more on, you know, where are you today with your business and, you know, who is it that you truly love to work with?
Oh, that's such a wonderful question to open this. Oh, there's so much happening at Peak Publishing, a lot. I look at my business servicing two major, I want to say entities, but really there's the author side of the publishing business. And then there's the corporate side, just like you mentioned. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm really focused more on that corporate side. On that corporate side, it's a high stakes. I mean, it's a high profile situation. And I'm like, yes, I want to be in the throes with, you know, shoulder to shoulder with the corporate staff. And almost function like an extension of their team. And it's so exciting to see what's happening. And it's not just corporations, it's academic institutions, it's nonprofits, government agencies. They are doing very important work. And it's not the type of work that's like, it would be nice to have a book on this. No. This is like policy manuals, like handbooks, health guides. I mean, really, really important high level things that make a difference in our community and in our society. And that's what excites me, gets me like going. Yes, I want to be a part of those things. And then, you know, the author side, it's a totally different side. It's a different pace. I mean, if you can't tell already, I like to have a little bit of variety. So the author side is where things get very intimate. It's personal. They're sharing a story that becomes a legacy for their family. If it's a memoir, it could be a business book, a book that's informational, not just educational. There's a difference. And in that information that's being shared, authors are telling their stories. You cannot have AI telling your story. I mean, these are personal stories that make a difference in other people's lives. So there's equal excitement on both. I'm really ramping up that corporate side because there's a lot more, it's more nuanced and it's more, detailed, very detailed.
Well, from
both are detailed.
From that perspective, let's talk about like the impact that it kind of makes. So your passion about the corporate and the actual what that actually means to these kind of corporations and businesses, with maybe how that publication, that book, that manual is going to actually help their business, but also the impact it's going to make. So what is it about those kind of clients that kind of really lights you up, and what do you enjoy? And then what do they enjoy about coming to you?
Oh, oh man. As you were even asking the question, I had the answer in my head. Like it's such a great question because what gets me so excited is when I meet that subject matter expert, and it could be on the craziest subject. It could be any subject. It could be in cryptocurrency, for God's sake. I mean, it could be anything. And when you see what they know, but they are having issues getting it to that level for a public facing document or general audience. And when you, when I, it's like you have to sit there and listen, and it makes sense now why I love doing a podcast. I have my own podcast. When you're interviewing somebody and you're hearing them talk and they're explaining things, when you start to hear like a subject matter expert go on and on and on and on and on, they're, that's how they're processing information. And I get excited hearing all of those nerdy details. I have so many stories I could tell you where I was like, things that clients have said that just blew my mind. And I'm like, this is amazing. How can we share this information with the public, and how do we make it resonate, you know, and flow, and, you know, get that hierarchy of information in order.
These patterns, the information, the way it should be communicated. So your clients more have, I know this thing. There is this concept, there is an idea, there is, here's 28 gazillion thousand pages, whereas your job is to go, hold on, let's put this into a place that's maybe actually usable, that actually is going to help them, but their people. So from that perspective, what do your clients want when they first come to you? What do they think they want?
Oh, that's such a good question. They think they want their manuscript edited, or they think they just need me to do this, or we just need you to design this, or, you know, we just need somebody to read it once and check for commas and, you know, grammar, punctuation. Mm. But then when you work with someone like me and I'm reading it, or I'm not even supposed to be reading it, but I'm just designing it, but I'm finding errors in their document. And then I explained to them, listen, I found several errors. This has not been proofread. This has not been edited. You know, here's my estimate on what it would take. And I will say 99% of the time when I approach my clients in that way, it's not like I'm not being shady or at all. It's genuine care about what their project is. And I say, listen, this is the shape that it's in. If somebody said that they proofread, they lied to you, I highlight five errors on one page. You know what I'm saying? And then there's shock. There's bewilderment. Oh my God, I didn't even know. I mean, these are legit spelling errors, consistency errors. And then they feel like they could take a deep breath. Like, oh, at least Nadia's got a handle on this. We can't trust anybody anymore. And it's the truth. It's the truth. I mean, people in the publishing industry are cutting corners. And I don't do that. And I think that's what happens is clients come to me asking for one thing, but they get so much more. And I love it. As a business owner, that's music to your ears. When a client tells you, I feel like I could take a deep breath. You handled this and I can sleep. I've been losing sleep over this and now I'm not as stressed. And I help them with that.
Yeah. We can call it a guardian angel or a guide. It's kind of beautiful that you... Again, what you do, so you help them sleep better at night, you help remove the stress, you help them increase the confidence in the project that's coming through. Yeah. That is what you actually do. That is the point of this. And it comes across from your business. So that's what we've gone through what they think they want. And then there's actually what they found that they kind of needed through this.
Right.
As you sort of grown yourself through this, the cascade of different clients that you've had and the impact that you've made, what is those next level clients that you're super passionate about? What's the bigger impact that you're looking to have now with these new clients?
That is such a great question, because there's so much out there that, at least in the corporate side, that they don't realize they need. And it's, you know, it's, I'm not taking on that challenge of, oh, it's my job to show them what they need. But, but there is a lot in, on that corporate side where employees in, it could be construction, it could be anything, where they're writing reports and presenting reports or sending them to big public figures, like big meaning high profile public figures. And their reports are full of errors, and then they look kind of stupid, and you know, it looks unprofessional.
There's the question. Let me just jump in there. What are the mistakes that you see time and time again?
Oh my God.
People are making.
It's the inconsistencies that it's not, oh, it's not spelled wrong. I mean, that happens too. But it's, you know, they ran it through Grammarly and spell check, right? It caught all the spelling errors. But what about the word compliment? It's spelled with an I, it could be spelled with an E. And that has two very different meanings. Complement as in these two things complement each other, or complement like I love how, what you're wearing today. And so in a contract, think about that now. If I'm editing a contract, an agreement between two, in a merger and acquisition, like this is a very high stakes situation now. In an M&A, right? There's a lot happening. There's a lot happening. And I'm not even that business savvy to know every single detail that goes on in an M&A, but there's a lot of money on the line. It could be up to billions of dollars, right? And you're looking at this contract and it uses the word complementary or complement in the wrong, like the word is basically spelled incorrectly in that context.
Yeah.
Think about the repercussions of what could happen if they actually meant free of charge, complimentary, you know, but really it was complimentary services or complimentary products that would go together. And that one word that was not misspelled, that was not picked up by Grammarly or AI, could have massive, massive, massive results. Yeah. I bet if you Googled it, there's some stuff out there that contracts had that were, you know, there were misspellings or, you know, represented the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, so, with this, we could talk about the big picture, what this actually documents, the book will actually do for the business. And there's the small, so the micro and then the macro, the small elements of, you know, the spelling mistakes, the inconsistencies, the lack of professionalism or what that might come across as. This is a topic that we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago with our Unforget Yourself community. What are we getting away with? Now, we could talk about this from a business perspective and also a personal perspective. What do we find ourselves getting away with? So your clients, what have they been getting away with for so long that actually there's a sort of totting up process of they've got away with not proofreading, they've got away with maybe not even writing the publication or the book, but the consequence of this down the road, it might be far away, is coming. How do you see this? Or maybe a better question is,
I do.
Why? Yeah. Why do they try to get away with it?
You know, it's all down to money. It's a business, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's a, you know, an academic institution, all of these companies, they run like businesses. They really do. And it comes down to money, and it comes down to, well, we didn't have the budget. We're going to put our money, we're going to just hire this type of person because, you know, they think that that's what they're, you know, they're going to get that high quality, which they probably will, but then they've neglected the content. And so what you're saying is what the repercussions are is what ends up happening is it's the reputation. So the reputation will become tarnished, and it's happening. It's in the news. It's embarrassing when people are using AI in the wrong ways. I'm not knocking AI. I took a class called AI for Editors. I mean, this is happening. I'm embracing it, but it needs to be used in the right way. And so
it's a super tool.
It's a tool.
To be used.
Exactly.
The point you made there about money, it's money.
Yeah,
I can come back and challenge that. Okay. It may seem like it's money. They may think that it's money. There's the surface level.
Yeah.
You're coming in with the level of knowledge. So it's a lack of knowledge of what this would mean to them. I mean, is it more expensive to have someone to proofread a contract, or is it more expensive to have the wrong contract signed and legally agreed in a merger? Let's hold space. And so I can hear the angst in your voice as human beings, there's only three resources we ever have: time, energy, and money. Money can be a super excuse, but there is the time and there is the energy. And we can sort of put knowledge in there as well. So your job, half of it, is to share the knowledge of the mistakes that could happen, to share the knowledge of the impact this document book will have. So we are talking business strategy. We are talking business products, but we are speaking to the human within the business. So, and that's our jam. That is what it's all about. Cause it does come back to this.
Oh yeah.
The knowledge.
It's the professional service. I think that's the difference is, you know, when you're providing a professional service, it's a different level. You're not providing a product. You're not providing a physical thing, right? It's, you know, if there's quality control, there's different measures, there's data, there's whatever, but with a professional service, you need your entire client's journey needs to be wonderful down to the minute that they're paying their bill. They are happy to pay your bill because you did a great job. You know, think about somebody who cuts hair, a hairstylist or at a hair salon. You know, you don't pay the same fee. Not, they don't all get paid the same. There's the highest level. Yes, I want the hair designer. I want the one who's been doing hair for 30 years to cut my hair. You're not going to be paying $75. You're going to be paying $175. I want to pay $175. You know, it's that, what do you want? And, you know, and it is that money aspect of, we can't afford $175, but we can afford $75 for a haircut. You may get the same. You may not. That's actually the risk as a business owner that you're taking, is when you're making that decision, you know, when in my own company, or the decision that clients are making, it's, you know, what level of expertise does this project require? And some just don't know. And some are like, well, I'll just hire whoever I find, you know.
Always a level of how much avoidance can go into this to avoid this problem or future scenario. I mean, if we bring this back into, because this, I know, is a passionate subject for you, and it's beautiful hearing your expertise in these areas. But I want to talk about you as well with your business, because as a business owner, you're probably going through these same, maybe a different level, different aspect, but these same challenges of, you know, money. Where do I put the money? The avoidance, what we're avoiding as business owners. How do you? What's it been like for you as you've kind of stepped into with all this expertise and the passion for the work that you do, but you're also a business owner and you're growing your business and you've scaled it to a good level of success. And now you're looking to go even further. What's it like for you as you kind of juggle all these sort of roles and responsibilities?
It feels like, you know, there are some days where I feel like I can't wrap my head around it all because I'm doing it all. And I think that's when I realized I'm transitioning from that solopreneur mentality to an entrepreneur mentality. And so it's a lot. It's a lot of transition that I'm going through right now in processes and the operations behind things. It's a lot, and it's tough to wrap your head around it. But what fuels me, that keeps me going, you know, there's things, I don't love all aspects of business development, but it is that passion for what I do. And I think that's where this great resignation has happened over the past couple of years, this proliferation of people who are now, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. Everybody can be an entrepreneur, right? Yeah. Well, I don't agree with that. Honestly, my opinion is that not everybody's meant to be an entrepreneur. You know, you could hear, I feel like it's lies. I don't think it's for everyone. I don't think it's for, you know, everybody can be a freelancer, can be a solopreneur, yes, but not everybody has the stamina for it. It is a lot. It's a lot. And I think it's a lie that people are, well, just get a business coach, just get a life coach. You can balance it all and be happy and successful. I mean, there's a lot of noise out there. So right now, I think the biggest challenge is that now that there was this proliferation of entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship, what now, why is there this, like, is it now a surprise that there's this proliferation of business coaches and life coaches? It's because these people don't know how to run a business. Like, there's a business sense, there's an instinctual aspect of running a business, but they don't have it, but they're faking it. And well, now they've got to get a business coach. That's my opinion.
Not everyone can do everything.
No,
absolutely true.
No.
But look at your work. There are all these corporations, nonprofits, institutions that suck at writing the publications, writing the books, doing that. Are they bad at what they do? No, there is an element of this. So we take it into the business owner world. You are an expert in the work that you've done. You've crafted a business from this passion and this skill set. So anything that you do in business does not reflect on your ability to serve at the highest level, the highest bit of care. However, it does mean that, you know, as a business owner, the entirety of the yes, we come into this with the passion to serve and do the job we want to do.
Exactly.
However, we forget that we need to do the accounts and the marketing and the sales and the bookkeeping and all the, and the,
it's
and
like
the
crap.
Cleaning, everything. There is more to it. So holding space for, I mean, the truth is you can have a mindset coach, a business coach, a physical coach, a strategy coach, a technology coach, an AI coach.
Oh my God.
There are all these different things that you could do. Focusing on what's going to move the needle? Where do I need help in this moment? What's going to truly help? Back to your clients.
Yeah.
What's going to help them a moment is, hold on, this book is littered with problems. I mean, we can let it go, or we can resolve this right now. There is that focus. There is absolute clarity.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, I hope that sort of frees up anyone listening of the guilt, the frustration around, I should better cope with everything. That, if we're talking about lies, that's an absolute lie. So where are those elements? Where do you excel within the business? And where is it like, hands up, I kind of suck at this. I'm working on it, but this is my kryptonite. What's that?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's the finances. It's the finances. I can't even handle. Think about what I do, right? I'm a words. I'm all about words. I'm an editor, for God's sake. I don't do numbers. I just hate it. I hate it so much, but it's my kryptonite. But you know, it is like you're saying, it's if I truly am meant to be an entrepreneur and it's what I want, you know, it is one of those things that you have got to, I have got to wrap my head around this. And so that's what I'm doing right now, is I am starting to feel more empowered on not just the finances, but the taxes, you know, what is happening in California and, you know, I'm in San Diego, and it's like really examining the tax side of running a corporation, because that's what I have. I have an S corp. It's not an LLC. I'm not like a, you know, sole proprietor. It's a, you know, someday I could have stocks and shares and become publicly traded. Who knows how big my company will get? You know, I'm not even close to that yet. But I mean, that's why you set yourself up for that, so that you could keep getting bigger and bigger.
Ah, crumbs there. Let's go down that rabbit hole. Setting yourself up. So how, in the spirit of unforget yourself, because we know that there's the strategy, the technologies, all the stuff that goes with this, but we, the business owner, are the most important asset in the business, bar none. It is the foundation everything is built, whether your face is on it or whether not, because there's a company to sell, you can't sell yourself. So we can talk about that another day, but you, the human being, the foundation, how are you setting yourself up to thrive as the business owner? How are you helping your business set itself up to stand in this place with all impact that you mentioned at the start of this interview?
You know, this might sound like a cheesy response, but I can answer that in one word.
Oh, do it. I love that.
And it's patience. It's patience. I think that is what I've seen other business owners lack. And I have the patience to take on a project that's only bringing in $200. Okay, that sounds insane, right? But who is that project coming from? I always ask these questions, you know, from a pure financial and, you know, what makes sense to typical business owners. Why in the hell would I waste my time and energy to make $200? That seems ridiculous. That $200 can grow to $20,000 within months. It can grow to $200,000. I mean, it's who is that work coming from? And that's the question that is not being asked. And some business owners who focus, you know, primarily on, we were talking about the money side, the business owners who focus only on the money, those are the business owners who essentially fail, because they're not true to what they stand for. What do you stand for? What do you represent? What is your brand? If you don't have the patience to see the $200 grow to $200,000, you're still going to be getting like, oh, well, I'm a successful business owner, and you know, each client is bringing in $2,000, but I'm, as an entrepreneur, each client should be bringing in $200,000. That's how you build a corporation. And so that's where there's that lack of patience. And it's, you know, a 20 something year old, you know, they might not have as much wisdom and experience as somebody in their 30s or somebody in their 40s and in their 50s. And so that's where, you know, I don't mean to be cheesy, but I do think that my patience for things has really, really shown me the success that I am now experiencing my business, which is still small. It's still fairly new, relatively new.
Patience is a beautiful word. I'm going to level that up with maybe consistency.
Yes.
With strategery, because patience is worthless, because if you have the patience to see it through. So I think your angle is, yeah, patience is beautifully put, but it is the understanding that the strategy behind that to get to that. So being strategic about this, having the, I think consistency is the key to success. Those that can emotionally, mentally, financially see it through. If you have the budget to keep, you have to keep on going. And it's not all grind, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. It's being purposeful about the strategy. But if you take on every single client at $200, you're going to fail in your business because look, I've got the patience. So you said about the money.
I agree with you. Yes. But it's knowing it's that instinct that I was saying earlier, the instinct to say, okay, this project is worthless, right? But who is this coming from? Who is the client? And that's where it's like, that's where the instinct comes in and knowing like, okay, this company is, they mean business. They are legit. They're serious about what they're doing. I want to be associated with them in any way, shape or form and making those decisions as a business owner. And then I think the other thing is, what I'm seeing, and I think what's happening is, and I'm frustrated. There's so much noise. There's so much noise on social media and blogs on how to do this, how to do that, how to do this. You know, I think that people need to share stories more. I think that storytelling is getting lost because it's just information overload. Ooh. And as a business owner, you need these things. And it's like, well, it's not the same for everyone. You can't fit everybody into this. It's puzzle pieces that fit together, yes, but not
what's
everybody
right
fits
for you. I mean, I've got a bee in my bonnet. I'm gonna share your passion
with
what you just unlocked with me, because again, I come back to your point. Okay, we've wrapped up patience, strategy, consistency.
Strategy,
you say
consistency.
There's
yes.
too much noise out there. And my point is, so
it's too much.
Hold on, but so what? It doesn't really matter. It only matters the attention that we actually give it. Now, storytelling. Storytelling has a place. You're on a podcast. Yeah. We are sharing stories to fill in these concepts. It makes it real. We can also, here's the law of polarity, the two ends of the scale. The amount of times we're on a podcast and I introduce my guests, it's like, tell me about where you are today and who do you serve? It's a simple question. Yeah. Why? So that the audience can realize, like, this is my episode. Yes, I want to hear this. But people have been told storytelling. Oh, come
I
on.
See.
And like,
I see.
Oh, when I was 2 years old, I went, I'm like, hold on. You
I
just
see what
the
you're saying.
there is a place, a time and a place to kind of do this. So there's no right or wrong, but strategically, what's right for you? So you're setting your business up strategically you've seen this, you've experienced this, you have the wisdom as an entrepreneur, not just as a transactional business, but as the entrepreneur. So you're going through these next levels. There is some wisdom that you're yet to have, or that's just about to drop in, that will allow you to make even better decisions, take even bigger action. So this, I think this is where I get excited about business ownership of these are lessons. This is the identity. This is the way that we hold ourselves. And if you can leverage these skills, that mixed with your crumbs, the job that you get to do, the experience, the skills that you have in business, plus the strategies for how we get out there, the technology that you're leveraging and using, put those all together. Oof.
Yeah.
That's what it's
all
about.
But it has to be unique. And it's exactly, it has to be unique to you. It has to work for you and not for you, Mark, specifically, or me, Nadia. You know, it has to work for our lifestyle. And it just, you know, some people who I get frustrated, they think, oh, well, all of these things seem to work for a successful entrepreneur, but that's not the case. You know, everybody has a different lifestyle, different needs. Yeah. Some people have young kids. I have two little boys. You know, it's what works for me might not work for somebody who's single without children or somebody who's married without children. I mean, it's a different, everybody has a different lifestyle. And so it's that struggle of, you know, I do listen to what's out there. There is a lot of noise and I listen to it. But it can become confusing. And I think my message to other entrepreneurs is just focus on what works for you. I think that don't try to fit into this mold that's, you know, might not be the right one for you. especially for, you know, a mother, you know, children, you know, they affect the business in some ways, and that's the reality of it. I think that's what I mean when I say the noise. It's like, you know, every successful entrepreneur wakes up at 5 a.m. I tried that, okay? I don't do that. It's not me. There are days where I will do it if I have to, but do I enjoy it? No. And I think that's where I started to really get pissed off and stressed out. Like I just have no, you know, I'm not getting to bed enough. I'm not getting enough sleep.
Now I'm struggling and I'm tired.
Now I'm tired. Yeah. I'm trying to say.
leaning into your human design, leaning into your traits, leaning into your desires.
Yes.
Leaning into those needs that are not being maybe heard in yourself. Yeah. So understanding what's right for you is on this journey of, you know, being consistent is super important because listen to those whispers. You know what you need to do. You know what you want to do. And all these shoulds, have tos, noise that gets in the way, that's the overwhelm. And that adds to doubt, self-doubt, guilt, and that adds to the fear. And then we're controlling our business based on fear. So trust.
Oh, that's so wonderfully said. Yeah.
Trust yourself.
Yeah.
A little bit more. And allow these the patience for your lessons to come through. So, hey, Nadia, this has been so much fun to talk about all these kind of concepts of being a business owner and in your world. So thank you so, so much for sharing.
Thank you. This was a fabulous conversation. I'm so excited to be here. So thank you for your time.
Oh, you're so welcome. And for those who are like, yes, I want to know more about the work that you do, how can they get in touch? Where can they find you?
They can find me on my website, Peak Publishing. It's spelled PIQUE.com, peakpublishing.com. And I have a podcast. You could look at the Editor's Half Hour. I talk about all things in the editorial world. There's a ton of fun stuff on my website. So check it out and fill out the contact form if you want to connect with me.
There you go. You know what to do. So everyone go and do that. And again, Nadia, thank you so much for being here. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so, so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe.
Mm.
Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is, and we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah, so please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
Oh, yeah. See you next time.
Bye.